So we are all gathered in the evening to talk about the beautiful pastimes of Lord Krishna in his Damodar form, Damodar Leela. And I request Alexander Prabhu to also pull up one more Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 10, verse 25. So we are continuing with the Damodar Leela pastime. And today I have chosen a very sweet pastime of the Lord. It's sweet in the sense of releasing the two souls, Manigriva and Nalakuvera, from the curse of degrading themselves due to their own puffed up mentality. And there are lessons in this for all of us. So that is why I chose this particular pastime. And Srila Prabhupada has beautifully illustrated it also in the Krishna book. And I want to read out some passages from that also. So we have the pastime of Manigriva and Nalakuvera. Who were they? Now remember, we are still in Damodar Leela. Krishna is tied up to that heavy wooden grinding mortar and he is very angry with Mother Yashoda. She has tied him up and he doesn't like that one bit. He says, all right, she has tied me up to keep me out of mischief. I will do even more mischief. Of course, whatever mischief does Krishna does is always beneficial for everyone. Krishna is all good. So whatever he does is all good. Right? Yeah. So we are going to read this beautiful pastime. And I have chosen this particular verse. Maybe I need to... So before reciting Srimad Bhagavatam, we recite all these verses to get the blessings of the great personalities. Deva Rishir me priyatamo yad imo dhanadatmajo tat tatha sadayishyami yad gitam tan mahatmana. So I will read the translation and the purport in the interest of time because we have a very short Bhagavatam class in the evenings. Although these two young men are the sons of the very rich Kuber and I have nothing to do with them, Devarishi Narad is my very dear and affectionate devotee. And therefore, because he wanted me to come face to face with them, I must do so for their deliverance. This is Krishna, and he's speaking. He's thinking like this, how to deliver these two sons of Manigriva and of Kuvera, Manigriva and Nalakuvera. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Very good. Nalakuvera and Manigriva actually had nothing to do with devotional service or seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. For this is not an ordinary opportunity. It is not that because one is very rich or learned, I'm happy to have the book because that's better. Thank you, Alexander Prabhu, for taking the trouble. This is a Vaishnav, always compassionate and helpful. Thank you. It is not that because one is very rich or learned or was born in an aristocratic family, one will be able to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. This is very important to hear. It is not that because one is very rich or learned or was born in an aristocratic family, one will be able to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. This is impossible. But in this case, because Narad Muni desired that Nalakuvera and Manigriva see Vasudev face to face, the Supreme Personality of Godhead wanted to fulfill the words of his very dear devotee Narad Muni. If one seeks the favor of a devotee, instead of directly asking favors from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one is very easily successful. You got the secret? Shall I read it again? If one seeks the favor of a devotee, instead of directly asking favors from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one is very easily successful. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has therefore recommended, Vaishnav Thakur, tomar kukur, bhuliya jana ha more, Krishna se tomar, Krishna dite paro. One should desire to become like a dog in strictly following a devotee. Krishna is in the hand of a devotee. Adurlabham atma bhakta. Thus, without the favor of a devotee, one cannot directly approach Krishna, what to speak of engaging in his service. Narottam Das Thakur therefore sings, Chariya Vaishnav Seva Nistar Payeche Keba. Unless one becomes a servant of a pure devotee, one cannot be delivered from the material condition of life. In our Gaudiya Vaishnav society, following in the footsteps of Rupa Goswami, our first business is to seek shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. Adau Gurva Ashrayaha. So thank you all for coming. I humbly request all of you to give me your blessings that I may be able to do justice to this beautiful pastime of the Lord and draw all the lessons that we can learn from this. Who is Manigriva and Nalakuvara? Who are they? They are sons of Kuver, the great treasurer of the demigods, who has so much material opulence that naturally his sons become very puffed up due to false pride and prestige. Now because Kuver has received the mercy and the favor of Shiva, the two sons are given permission to sport in the heavenly realms of Mount Kailash. This is a very rare blessing. So these young men, they are in the realms, in the divine realm of Mount Kailash, and they are intoxicated by the beautiful atmosphere. There are lotuses, there are fragrant flowers, birds, trees, waterfalls, lakes, ponds, and beautiful apsaras for them to enjoy. So these apsaras are singing very beautifully, and there are beautiful lakes with ponds and filled with lotuses. And so these young men, just like most young people, decide they want to enjoy. And they're always intoxicated with the beverage called Varuni. So here they are thoroughly intoxicated in the lake, completely unashamed of how they are, because they are just, you know, without any raiments on, and they're sporting in the water just like animalistic sense pleasure. And suddenly who comes there? Narad Muni. The girls are not so intoxicated, so immediately they cover themselves because they are embarrassed and they are ashamed. Such a saintly personality and we are like this. But the boys are so puffed up and so intoxicated and so filled with false pride and prestige that even after seeing saintly Narad Muni, they did not care to cover themselves. So Narad Muni, immediately seeing their degraded condition, he gets very angry and he curses them. I want to read this particular passage because Srila Prabhupada has described it so beautifully about why Narad Muni, the saintly devotee of the Lord, cursed them. Why would he curse them? Just because they didn't offer obeisances or respects? No, it is for their deliverance that Narad Muni cursed them, because he saw that the way they were going, they were degrading and they were going to go into a lower and lower species of life because they were simply living an animalistic life. So, I'm going to pull up that particular passage that Srila Prabhupada has described so beautifully, and I want you to pay very close attention because it's beautifully written why Narad Muni cursed and then how Krishna delivered them. The great sage Narad Muni thereafter thought that it was his duty to put those demigods into a condition where they could not be falsely proud of their material opulence and prestige. Narad Muni was compassionate and wanted to save them from their fallen life. They were in the mode of darkness, and being therefore unable to control their senses, they were addicted to sex life. It was the duty of a saintly person like Narad to save them from their abominable condition. In animal life, the animal has no sense to understand he is naked. But Kuver was the treasurer of the demigods, a very responsible man. And Nalakuvara and Manigriva were two of his sons. And yet, they became so animalistic and irresponsible that they could not understand, due to intoxication, that they were naked. To cover the lower part of the body is a principle of human civilization, and when men or women forget this principle, they become no better than animals. Narad Muni therefore thought that the best punishment for them was to make them immovable living entities or trees. Trees are by nature's law immovable. Although they are covered by the mode of ignorance, they cannot do harm. The great sage Narad thought it fitting that although the brothers would be punished to become trees, by his mercy they would continue to keep their memory and be able to know why they were being punished. After changing the body, a living entity generally forgets his previous life, but in special cases, by the grace of the Lord, as with these two, one can remember. So Narad Muni, seeing their condition, immediately cursed them to become Yamal Arjuna trees. But with that, he gave them a blessing that you will stand in Nanda Maharaj's courtyard for 100 celestial years and you will remember that you were demigods. You will not forget that. And in the end, you will be delivered by Krishna, whom you will see face to face. So this was actually a benediction to them. Though it was coming in the form of a curse, it was a blessing, because how many of us can see the Lord face to face? How many of us have that benediction? Of course, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we have the opportunity to perfect our life so that one day we will see the Lord face to face. But it's not an easy thing, as we all know, right? The path is quite difficult. We have to practice all the time to remember Krishna. And so they were converted into Yamal Arjuna trees, and they were standing in the courtyard of Nanda Baba for how many years? 100 celestial years. Do you want to know how long that is? Okay. 6 months of our earth time is equal to one day in the planet of the demigods. So 2 days in the planet of the demigods is 1 year of our life, of our earth planet. So 182 and a half, let's say 365 divided by 2, 182 and a half years of our earthly planet is 1 year of the demigods. Multiply that by 100, that is 1,820 years. How many centuries is that? 18 centuries of our time. Long time to ponder over my mistakes, right? Enough time to repent and feel remorse and understand that I have been put into this tree body because I was so degraded and I behaved so abominably like an animal. But in the human form of life, we are meant to be very responsible and understand human life is meant for tapasya. So Narad Muni, being a great saint, delivered these two souls so that they would not glide further and further and be born into the lower species of life. Srila Prabhupada said, you want sex life? Become a pigeon. 60 times in an hour. You know, animals do everything so much better than us. You want to sleep? Become a bear. They hibernate for 6 months in the year. You want to eat? Then become an elephant. You know, he eats 40 kgs of grass. Animals do everything so much better than us in every area. So then what is the point? If we also are living an animalistic life, we have lost the opportunity, because the human form of life is the only loophole by which one can get out of the cycle of repeated birth and death. So congratulations, my dear spirit souls. You enlightened beings have come here to the right path of attaining the most wonderful gift of this human form of life, to go back home, back to Krishna, and serve him in our eternal spiritual form, Satchit Ananda Vigraha. What a rare gift this is. And Srila Prabhupada has come to deliver us, just as Narad Muni came to deliver Manigriva and Nalakuvera, because where were we before this? Animalistic, materialistic, hedonistic, sense pleasure, sense gratification, material enjoyment, material advancement. That's where we were, isn't it? And Srila Prabhupada in his mercy has lifted us far, far above that and given us the path back home. So wonderful, isn't it? So let's see what Krishna does. Now Krishna, like I said, he's very angry with his mom. Why? She tied him up to a wooden grinding mortar and she said, now you stay there and you stay out of mischief. It's a very heavy wooden mortar, and he's only a little boy, 2 or 3 years old. But he's actually the Supreme Lord who can move anything he likes because he has all the power. So Krishna decides, all right, now it's time to deliver those two Yamal Arjuna trees because of Narad Muni. I want to fulfill the desires of my pure devotee. He actually has nothing to do with Manigriva and Nalakuvera. He's saying that, right? Right at the beginning, what is Krishna saying? Although I have nothing to do with these two young men who are the sons of very rich Kuvera, Devarishi Narad is my very dear and affectionate devotee, and because he wanted me to come face to face, I must do so. So this is the key. If we please the Lord's devotee, then the Lord will give us his mercy. Otherwise, not possible. Not possible. So what does Krishna do? He crawls his way and he goes between the two Yamal Arjuna trees. And Srila Prabhupada mentions these are very strong, very sturdy trees that many elephants cannot move them. Just imagine how strong Krishna is. And he goes between the trees and the wooden grinding mortar turns like this crosswise because by his arrangement he does like that. So it acts like a wedge. And then he pulls with all his might and the trees come crashing down. Boom! And two very dazzling, very effulgent, very beautiful beings come out and they offer obeisances to Krishna and they say beautiful prayers and they remember who delivered them from this curse, so they thank Narad Muni. It is because of his mercy that we have been released. So, Narad Muni has actually delivered these two souls and he has helped them to see Krishna face to face. This is the gift of coming in contact with a saintly person. You will see the Lord face to face. And we have all received this gift because here is Srila Prabhupada. Every day we are offering prayers to him. Every day we are singing Guru Vandanam. Every day we are offering our life, our activities, our mind, our intelligence, everything to him. And you know what Srila Prabhupada said? If you follow this process, you will go back home, back to Godhead. Because I have the door key to the back door. So he will let us in. If we are sincere, he will let us in through the back door. Hey, you want to go back? I don't hear anything. Yeah. Haribol! So all we have to do, my dear spirit souls, is follow the simple, sweet process. Chant our rounds nicely. 16 good rounds. Srila Prabhupada wrote to Jadurani, he said, if you chant your 16 rounds, good rounds, every day without fail, I guarantee you, Maya cannot touch you. Attend without fail on our beads with full focus, attention, devotion, calling out to Krishna like a child calling out for its mother. Because this is our condition. We are helpless here in this material world. We need Krishna's mercy, right? So that's the this is the path. This pastime illustrates that only by the mercy of the devotee of the Lord, we will get the mercy of the Lord. It's not possible directly. So we want to please Srila Prabhupada. We want to engage all our intelligence, our activities, our energies in his service. It doesn't matter. We don't have to become big, big GBC. We can just be our own simple, humble little selves, and like the little spider in Lord Ram's story, we do our own little service, whatever it may be, but do it with all sincerity, with a genuine desire to please Krishna. And then just see how Krishna reciprocates with us. Yes? Isn't it so? Have you not all experienced that from time to time? Krishna reciprocating? And then a very sweet relationship starts building between Krishna and devotee. Krishna says, oh, this devotee is trying to serve me so nicely. I will facilitate him or her and make more arrangements so that they can serve me nicely. Then the devotee gets very excited. He says, oh, Krishna is making all these nice arrangements. Now I'll distribute more books, or I'll cook more prasadam, or I'll make the temple floor shine so nicely, or I'll do very nice garlands for Krishna. And devotee gets more excited to do things nicely for Krishna. And Krishna says, oh, devotee is doing so nicely, I must do more nicely to serve him. So it's competition. And Krishna doesn't like to be outdone. So he does more for the devotee. Then devotee gets all excited. He does more for Krishna. And so it's anandam buddhi vardhanam. Ever increasing happiness of lovingly serving Krishna. And this happens. I'm not making up stuff. As we progress in our bhakti, we will see how Krishna is reciprocating and how much he is making more and more facilities for you to do your service in a very nice way. All obstacles will start melting away and more opportunities will come so that you can blossom and grow and bring your gifts to offer to Krishna in loving service to him. So devotees, we are in a very nice place in the temple, in the boat that Srila Prabhupada is a captain of. We have very favorable winds of the Vedic scriptures. Here we are, nice programs, morning, evening, Krishna Katha, Kirtans, Aartis, Prasadam. What more we want? Yes? So let us all make up our minds. I'm going back home, back to Godhead in this lifetime. Why not? Because if we shoot for that, then there's some chance in the next 5-10 lifetimes we'll make it. But if we say, oh yeah, maybe another 5-10 lifetimes, it'll take 300 lifetimes. Srila Prabhupada said, shoot for the moon, then you might get the stars. Right? So we must keep our aim high. We must think big. We must say, why not? Yes? Why not? With Srila Prabhupada's mercy, impossible becomes possible. So thank you all for listening very patiently. I know we are short on time, so I try to wrap it up as quickly as possible because I know you all have things to do and go home and things like that. So we can open up for comments, questions, and realizations. I would love to sing a song if people will allow me. You have time? Gopinath. It's a beautiful song. Are you ready to sing? You want to sing? All right. Let's sing Gopinath because this is our situation. Bhakti Vinod Thakur is singing, I'm a materialist, my Lord, help me. So we are going to sing in that same mood, calling out to Krishna to help us. You ready to go? All right. Who's going to play mridanga and harmonium? Dayalu will play. Do we have Gopinath? Wonderful. Everyone can see the words? Are you ready? Ready? Yes. Ready? Okay. Gopinath, mama nivedana shuno. Vishayi durjana sada kamarata kichu nahi mora guna Gopinath. Oh, it's too much, huh? I should go slow? Huh? Me included. Okay, let's start with just few words. Okay, now can you see? Okay. Vishayi durjana sada kamarata kichu nahi mora guna Gopinath, Gopinath, amara bharosa tumi, tomara charane, loino sharana, tomara kinkoro ami, Gopinath, Gopinath, কে মনে সদিবে মোরে, না জানি ভকতি কর্মে জড়মতি, পড়েছি সংসার ঘোরে, গোপীনাথ গোপীনাথ সকলি তোমার মায়া, নাহি মামা বলা জ্ঞান সুনির্মালা, স্বাধীন নাহি একায়া, গোপীনাথ গোপীনাথ নিয়ত চরণ স্থান, মাগে পামরা কান্দিয়া কান্দিয়া, করো হে করুণা দানা, গোপীনাথ গোপীনাথ তুমি তো সকালি পারো দুর্জনে তারিতে, তোমার শক্তি কে আছে পাপিরারো, গোপীনাথ গোপীনাথ তুমি কৃপা পারা ভারা, জীবের কারণে আসিয়া প্রপঞ্চে, লীলা কইলে সুবিস্তারা, গোপীনাথ গোপীনাথ আমি কি দোষে দোষী, অসুরা সকলা পাইল চরণা, বিনোদ থাকিল বসী, গোপীনাথ গোপীনাথ মম নিবেদন শুনো, বিষয় দুর্জনা সদা কামরাতা, কিছু নাহি মোরা গুণা, গোপীনাথ গোপীনাথ। জয়, ইউ স্যাং ভেরি নাইসলি, থ্যাংক ইউ। ইউ ওয়ান্ট টু হিয়ার দ্য ট্রান্সলেশন? দিস ইজ আওয়ার কন্ডিশন, সো আই চোজ দিস সং। ও গোপীনাথ, লর্ড অফ দ্য গোপীজ, প্লিজ হিয়ার মাই রিকোয়েস্ট। আই এম আ উইকেড মেটেরিয়ালিস্ট, অলওয়েজ অ্যাডিক্টেড টু ওয়ার্ল্ডলি ডিজায়ার্স, অ্যান্ড নো গুড কোয়ালিটিজ ডু আই পজেস। O Gopinath, you are my only hope, and therefore I have taken shelter at your lotus feet. I am now your eternal servant. O Gopinath, how will you purify me? I do not know what devotion is, and my materialistic mind is absorbed in fruitive work. I have fallen into this dark and perilous worldly existence. O Gopinath, everything here is your illusory energy. I have no strength, no transcendental knowledge, and this body of mine is not independent and free from the control of material nature. O Gopinath, this sinner who is weeping and weeping begs for an eternal place at your divine feet. Please give him your mercy. O Gopinath, you are able to do anything, and therefore you have the power to deliver all sinners. Who is there that is more of a sinner than myself? O Gopinath, you are the ocean of mercy. Having come to this phenomenal world, you expand your divine pastimes for the sake of the fallen souls. O Gopinath, I am so sinful that although all the demons attained your lotus feet, Bhakti Vinod has remained in worldly existence. So Bhakti Vinod Thakur is singing like this, what to speak of us? So we can pray to Krishna, we can pray to Srila Prabhupada, we can pray to our spiritual masters, please deliver us, please help us. And then they will give us their mercy and we will one day see Krishna face to face. Hari Bol! So thank you very much for listening patiently. We can open up for questions, comments, criticisms, corrections.
Processing the information internally and trying to put it externally in the right way.
No problem. Take your time. And welcome. Dobrodošli. No questions, no comments, nothing. This is not very inspiring for me. It is a lot to take in for the first time, but believe me, it's just the start. But you're very welcome to ask questions. We have a lot of devotees here who have been practicing for a long time. You'll make many friends. You'll enjoy the most wonderful food you've ever had.
Hare Krishna.
You will sing and dance in ecstasy. Welcome to the spiritual world. Yes, Prabhu.
One simple question, yet deep. How to cry for Krishna?
Oh, yeah, I wish I knew. How to cry for Krishna. Very important. This is very, very, we must understand that this is really what we need to do. In fact, Gaur Govinda Maharaj said, I have opened a crying school to teach you how to cry for Krishna. And if you cannot cry for Krishna, then cry that you can one day cry for Krishna. The way to cry for Krishna is to understand that Krishna is actually who we really want and who we really are connected to eternally. We must have intense greed to go back to Krishna. Laulyam, it is called laulyam. And the only way to cry for Krishna is to hear more and more and more and more about Krishna, fall in love with Krishna, think of Krishna, serve Krishna, everything Krishna. We want to Krishnaize our life. So that it's just Krishna, 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 Krishna all the way. And then we will not be able to bear it to be in this material world without Krishna. Our bodies will not be able to stand it and we will just want to give up this body and go back to Krishna. At that time, we are ready for Krishna. We will be crying so hard for Krishna that Krishna will say, all right, come back. So it's not so easy to cry for Krishna, but we must try. Thank you.
Can you hear
very
me?
Very deep question.
My bad. Okay. Yeah, so I thought of a question, and that's regarding when you said, so how I understand it, okay. So my question to you is, it's regarding other deities, such as like outside of Krishna, outside of Hinduism, like, Yehut, Thoth, or Apu, which is Anubis, or Ra, or any of these other deities really outside of like the Hindu spectrum. Like, so I wanted to really ask, like, what's your perspective on that? Like, if somebody was, say, devoted to that deity and to those principles, morals, virtues, and yeah, pretty much like, what are your thoughts on that experience?
Well, Krishna explains, and in the Bhagavad Gita also, and Srila Prabhupada explains that, you know, Krishna has a big government and there are a lot of administrators. So we have the sun god, the moon god, the wind god, you know, they are all the administrators of this universe. And in different traditions, they are worshipped as sun god or Lord Shiva or Lord Ganesh, and not just in our tradition, Hindu tradition, but, you know, the Mayans and the Incas, they worship the sun god. You know, the other people worship moon god. So like that, each sect or each community had a particular administrator of the universe whom they worshipped as the supreme being. But Krishna explains that even if they have that faith, I make that faith steady so that that person becomes devoted to that particular demigod. We call them demigods because they are in charge of the different aspects of the universe. But whatever benedictions come from those demigods, they actually come from me. So worship me directly. That's what Krishna is explaining, that you don't have to worship each demigod separately. If you worship me, then you are pleasing all the demigods because they are parts and parcels of me. Supposing you want to water a tree, where will you put the water? On the ground, right? At the root, right? You will not go from one leaf to 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 one leaf because that's not very efficient and that's not going to work. So similarly, we encourage people to go to Krishna because he is the supreme being, he is the one to be worshipped, and by worshipping him, all the demigods are pleased. Supposing you decide to worship one demigod, what if the other demigod gets upset with you? Because you're taking a risk, right? Yes. So therefore we say, worship Krishna, everyone is happy. The demigods are happy, your husband is happy, your wife is happy, your children are happy, your neighbors are happy, everyone becomes happy when you worship Krishna. Does that help any?
Oh, it helps a lot. It's just, it helps a lot. It's just there are aspects from my understanding that I tend to disagree. But
okay.
It's still interesting having this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Because I am trying to be open that my perspective or current subjective belief can be wrong. Because
mm-hmm.
I'd rather be wrong in order to understand something new.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's very nice that you have an open mind and that you're willing to hear alternative points of view. But what I would encourage you is to go deeper and look into the sources of your information. Where is this coming from? Who has given this knowledge? What authority he or she has? The authority we speak from is the authority of the Vedas. It is coming from God himself. Krishna says, I am the compiler of the Vedas. I am the speaker of Vedanta. I am the end of all knowledge. I can quote the Sanskrit. It's the verse 15:15. Sarvasya chaham ridhi sannivishto mata smriti jnanam apohanam cha. Vedaischa sarvair aham eva vedya vedantakrit vedavid eva chaham. Now that's complicated for you to understand because it's Sanskrit. The translation goes like this, that I am the source of all the Vedas. In short, Krishna is explaining that I am seated in the heart as super soul. From me come remembrance, knowledge and forgetfulness. By all the Vedas I am to be known. I am the compiler of the Vedanta and indeed I am the, what is the last word that, can someone pull that up? 15:15 for me? Bhagavad Gita? And he says, I am the compiler of the Vedas. I am the knower of the Vedas. Yes, that's the word, knower of the Vedas. So our source of knowledge is coming from God himself. We are not making it up. It is asamurdhva, and it's coming down through the disciplic succession of saints and personalities who have come to give the message of God as it is, without deviation, without concoction, without addition, without subtraction. They are giving the message of God as it is. That's our source.
Yeah, I wanted to comment on that. Yeah, I'm well aware that the Vedas go back 1,500 years before the birth of Christ. So I'm well aware that the source, the internal source, which you're speaking of, from coming from Brahman and then from to Krishna. Yeah, I'm well aware of that. I was just going to comment that. Yeah. Actually, wait.
I forgot what I was going to say.
Take your time. No rush. We are here. Anyone else? Yes, sir. Please. Yes, Prabhu.
So I just, it's interesting how Vedas, so it's a punishment that you became a tree.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, Vedas many times say that, we should be like trees.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. So in one way, it's a... it's a curse, or and then we should be, you know, if you cut the tree, it will not protest.
Mm-hmm.
It gives you shelter, it gives you fruits.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting how this, I mean, if you have a comment on this.
Yes, it doesn't say become like a tree. It says acquire the qualities of a tree. We can learn so much from the tree, to be tolerant, to not complain, to not crib and whine about things, because even when it's cut, it doesn't complain. So yes, it gives shade, it gives fruit, it gives. It's a giver. So we are encouraged to think of the qualities of a tree and acquire those qualities, but nobody says become a tree. Please don't. You sing too beautifully, no chance for that. Krishna is going to say, no, this one comes back. Is that helpful?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.